Just a advance notice for March next year. I can't remember the exact date, which is a bit naughty, isn't it? But we will be having the opportunity of a pastor from Romania come here on a Wednesday evening and speak to us and share what he's been up to in Romania. I've actually spent some time in his house with him. He's got a huge church, absolutely huge. I mean, I don't know how many people go there. It's just absolutely massive. But he's going to come and spend some time with us. And then on a Saturday morning in March next year, we're going to have a men's breakfast. Breakfast with Onnie. Now, that sounds a little bit like a Muppet, doesn't it? But he's not a Muppet. That's the name of the pastor, Onnie. And so we're going to spend some time having egg and bacon and getting to know Onnie a little bit better and hearing how he survived during communist times. Now, before we start, I would like you to take one of these each. That's your lucky raffle ticket for today. Okay, not really. You can stick it in your Bible, you can stick it on your fridge, and it might just help trigger a few things with what we're looking at today. Now, I need my PowerPoint. There we go. We've got a few other things on the... I'll give you a shout when I need that, Tim. We've got a few other things on the table there, such as magazines and other bits and bobs to do with the mission. As I said this morning, my first year of SGA has come and gone, and there have been some times when I've been so far out of my comfort zone, that they say, I just didn't know where I was. And every time I go off with SGA, I'm always encouraged to make a to-do list. And I've got a to-do list for today. But if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And we'll read the first 12 verses first of all. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so that you would find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your bones and refreshment to your body. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father in the son in whom he delights. I just want us to look very briefly at five things within that short passage. But whenever I go away on a trip, I always have to do a to-do list in order that I don't forget what I'm supposed to do. And on that to-do list, I will have my passport, I will have my visas, if I need a visa. Sometimes I need to take euros, sometimes I need to take other kind of money. Then there's something called the contingency fund that I have to take, and this is really important. It's a little bit of extra money that I'm given, put in an envelope that has to be returned, so I don't end up in Barbados. And what that means is, if I get into a problem, then I've got enough backup money to get home or get myself out of mischief or get a cup of tea. I obviously need to take my Bible and my lecture notes and a laptop and a phone and the charger. And not just the charger, but something that you can adapt your charger into, because some of the wiring out in some of these places is a little bit difficult. Toothbrush, I don't bother with a hairbrush these days. A map, that's always important. Phrase books, and the list goes on. And then members of staff might ring me up and they will say to me, oh, when you're out there, have a word with so-and-so. Take this with you, speak to, visit, bring back, ask. And so I end up with this huge to-do list of things that I must take with me, must say, must do. And it all gets a little bit wary sometimes. And I think to myself, am I going to remember all of this? And so I tick through my list bit by bit. And that got me thinking. Got me thinking that in the book of Proverbs, this kind of reminds me of a everyday, ordinary day life to-do list. Are there any of those left at all? Can I just pinch one, if there's one left? There we go. Can I borrow yours, Tom? There we go. We'll get you another one. And so you've got five things there that the writer of the Proverbs is putting down as a to-do list for his son. We know that because he says in the beginning, verse 1, my son, do not forget my teaching. And he goes on and he gives some illustrations about that. He says, my teaching, take it to heart, keep my commandments, long life and peace they will give to you. The teaching means law. What do we mean by the law? Well, the first five books of the Bible are actually the most important. Consider the Ten Commandments. Most people don't know them today in this country. But the Ten Commandments, you've got six commandments of how you relate to one another. Like, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not bear false witness. And then you've got four commandments that relate how you relate to God. And so when he's saying, do not forget my teaching, he's saying, don't forget what God has put in place. He continues and he says, keep them, or verse 1 there, but let your heart keep my commandments. I wonder what he means by that, your heart. Well, he doesn't want this to be an academic exercise. He doesn't want teaching, as this sense, being an academic exercise. He wants whoever it is to respond out of relationship. And that's the thing with Christianity. It's not a religion. It's not an academic exercise. It's this whole sense that we live to please God. And the response from that is not academic, but we want to love God and please him. I have a really good boss. He's absolutely fantastic. And every member of staff say he's fantastic. And he remembers every single little detail that he needs to about you as an individual. He'll send me emails, he'll ring me up to see if I'm all right. And there's nothing I wouldn't want to do for him. Not out of trying to get the job right, but I want to please him because he's just such a great guy. And if we've got that relationship with God, surely we please God not out of duty, but the fact that we love him. So he says, don't forget my teaching. There's your first thing on the to-do list there. What has God actually taught us in his word? Because it makes sense, doesn't it? It saddens me to think that this country might just take the Bible out of the law courts, which is a little bit ignorant and a little bit odd considering that most of British law was based on the Old Testament in the first place. So here's a comment. Here's your to-do list for this week. Don't forget what God has said. Keep it, he says. Protect it. Guard it. All the commandments. Then he goes on, he says, for long life and peace they will give to you. Now, for some people, they consider this that you'll live to about 180 if you do everything that God says. Well, we know that's not true. We all get frail and we pass on. It doesn't mean that. Can you imagine what it's like to live a life where you've got no regrets? That'd be quite something, wouldn't it? But most of us have some form of regret, which is why he continues and he says, for length of days and years of life, there's a sense where it will bring refreshment and vigorousness to your life as you follow him. And then it says, and peace. I wonder why we've got so much difficulty in the world today. It's because we've forgotten God's teaching. We're living with regret and we've got no peace. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom, which is a holistic meaning for the word. Meaning, may your whole body be at peace. So that's the first thing he says is, do not forget my teaching. The second thing he goes on, he says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Those are important things, very, very important. When it talks about kindness here, it's talking about the act of kindness. In other words, don't fail to show acts of kindness and mercy. And he goes on, he says, do not forget or neglect truth as well. What is truth these days? We're talking about tooth decay. We've got truth decay and how it's just being eroded all the time. There was a song in the charts many years ago by a pop group who I can't remember. I expect Mr. Smalley will remember because he's got a good brain like that. And they said, you tell me your truth and I'll tell you mine. And society's become like that, isn't it? Truth is just what it means for you. And yet there are certain things in life we don't do in that way, like mathematics. I'm not very good at math, but I know 2 and 3 equals 6, doesn't it? Well, it does to me. That's really important to me, that it means 6. No, it doesn't, does it? The fact of the matter is it means 5. It's pretty obvious. And truth is either truth or it's not truth. And when we look at society today in the United Kingdom, most of it's a big lie. It's a big sham. And so whoever's writing here, he says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. And he goes on, he says, bind them round your neck. That's a little bit odd, isn't it? What does he mean by that? Well, what connects the head to the heart is the neck, isn't it? In other words, what passes through the head to the heart, or from the heart to the head, has to be filtered out. It's like a coffee filter machine, I kind of think of it. And it filters through kindness and truth all the time. That our heads wouldn't act in an academic way, and our hearts wouldn't react from some sort of emotional way. I mean, we need this kind of balance, and it filters it through. And then he says, write it on the tablet of your heart. Now, Mr. Mac and iPod and iPad and all this kind of thing, they didn't have tablets in the first place, actually. The Bible had the first tablets. Well, actually, the culture of the day had the first tablets. And many students would go around with a tablet, probably in a rucksack or something like that, but they didn't have to charge them up, and they would just have to scribe them as a permanent reminder, a permanent record of whatever teaching had been passed on to them. And the thing about some of the tablets is once it was marked, it couldn't be erased. It was on there permanently until it was broken. This is why whoever's writing this, he says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Write them, inscribe them as a permanent record on your heart. And then you will find favor or good repute, good reputation with God and man. Now, there's an illustration of this in the New Testament. Well, we can have that PowerPoint up, Tim. Of a man who showed kindness and truth. There we go. I wonder if Mr. Microsoft will work today. There we go. There's a man in the Bible called Erastus, and he's one of Paul's best friends. He goes around with him quite a lot. You can find him in these two passages. And he was called the city treasurer of Corinth. Now, can you imagine who's the Chancellor of the Exchequer these days? Osborne. Is it still him, is it? Okay. So imagine if George Osborne becomes a Christian and he goes to your church here. That'd be quite interesting, wouldn't it? And then just supposing Mr. Osborne looks at the mission board at the back and thinks, hey, I'd like to get involved with some overseas trips. I'll go off with Tear Fund. You know, I know how to handle the money and things like that. Well, hopefully he does. We won't talk about that. Anyway, this guy, Erastus, he's the city treasurer of Corinth. And Corinth is a huge city, and he's responsible for all of its finances. Now, to be the city treasurer of Corinth, you had to be voted in by the people. The people had to like you. In other words, you had to show kindness and truth. Okay, it wasn't open for political debate. It wasn't open for the politicians. Anybody could be voted in as long as they were wealthy enough and had enough kind of wealth influence, if you like, but they had to show kindness and truth. Now, some people have said, well, Erastus never really existed, but in the city of Corinth in the late 1920s, some archaeologists were digging around, and they actually dug up a pavement, and it says Erastus the Aedile, or Erastus the city treasurer, laid this pavement at his own expense. Because what happened at the end of a term for a city treasurer in Corinth was they had to donate something. It could be a library, it could be a road, it could be a pavement, as a lasting tribute to that community. And guess what? Erastus the city treasurer, who's mentioned in the New Testament, left this bit of pavement. And there's his name there in Latin. I think that's really exciting. But more than that, it goes on to show that when we put these things into practice, it really does share the gospel. Imagine somebody like Erastus and the opportunities that he had in his lifetime. Why? Because he practically was able to show kindness and truth. And he must have bound them on his heart in order that people saw Erastus and thought, we like this man. He's a Christian and we know he's honest and he won't rip us off. And he won't filter out the funds of Corinth to other things. So that's the second thing. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. You see, these aren't just a shopping list. These aren't just a to-do list for this week. These are things that people will look at and they will say, well, I don't know what kind of faith you've got, but it's very different to what else I see in the world. Number three goes on. He says, do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, he says. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Trust, that's a difficult word, isn't it? What does trust really mean? Well, to the Hebrew mind there and the Hebrew language, it's always either very poetic or very graphic. It's an imagery. So this word trust comes from a maternal word, batak. And it's the description of a child as it's being nursed by its mother on its mother's breast. And how that child is just trusting its mother for nourishment, for comfort, for security, for warmth, for protection, for one-to-one attention. And this is where that word comes from. So when it says trust in the Lord with all your heart, the image here is of a baby who's frail and helpless, but knows it finds satisfaction and nourishment and security in the arms of its mother. See, when a child is being fed, it's not struggling usually, is it? It's just content and calm, and then once it's fed, it's nourished. And it's this simple trust that the writer of the Proverbs is trying to get across. And again, he says, trust the Lord with all your heart. In other words, let this be out of a relationship, not an academic exercise. Then he goes on, he says, lean not on your own understanding. Now, that's a difficult one to explain. So you'll have to bear with me for a moment while I just sort myself out here. Now, stay with me, because I've not lost the plot. At least I hope I haven't. Ah, there we go. Because you'll see where I'm going with this now. Now, I have here a photograph of me a few days after I was married. There, that's a nice picture, isn't it? I'll hide it, because I don't look much better there either, really. Apart from, I've got a bit more hair in those days. Now, I want you to imagine that this tripod, oops, I've got it going, is me. Okay, now, hopefully this will work. There we go. All right, you with me? That's pretty cool, isn't it? And here's my little legs. Obviously, I'm a bit more, well, Slovakianized these days. Now, lean not on your own understanding. Now, I've got two legs, but if I lean on my own understanding, what's going to happen the moment I let go? Pretty obvious, really, isn't it? So I need some support, not because I'm weak and frail, but because life is difficult. You see, Christianity isn't a crutch. It's actually a support, because it's relational. See, this is a tripod. There are meant to be three elements to it, and in a relationship with a human being, there are supposed to be you and God. You can't stand on by yourself. You were never designed that way. Even in the Garden of Eden, man walked with God. And we kind of lost that walk. And yet as believers, it says, do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. What does that mean, to acknowledge him? I'm going to leave me there, because I'm quite happy with that photograph. Got quite a bit of hair there. And hopefully you remember not to lean on your own understanding, but to lean on God. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In every situation, I worked on an outreach team many years ago, and one of the ladies on the outreach team used to, quite frankly, get up my nose. Because everything that went on, she would have to pray for. So we're going down the road, and she'll say, Lord, we just commit a parking space for you, in Jesus' name, amen. And pray that we have enough change for a parking ticket, amen. I'm not joking, it was literally like that. The worst thing was I could never argue with her, because it always worked. She would always find a parking spot. She would always have the right change. She had this kind of simple, trusting faith on the Lord, but everything she would acknowledge God in. You know, I forget to do that so very often. I'm so busy. The last person I think about is God. There's a story of Buzz Aldrin and Jim Irwin before they went on the moon. How, before they went out from the lunar module, they actually broke bread together. They'd taken a little bit of bread, a little bit of wine. They gave thanks to the Lord and just acknowledged God before they took that big leap. Now, if I was Buzz Aldrin, I would have said to Jim Irwin, like, now listen, mate, nobody's ever been here before. We're kind of out of our depth. Why don't we just get this over with and get back to planet Earth? But no, they just paused. They took the time. They just said to NASA headquarters, we're just acknowledging God before we do this. This is why it says, do not lean on your understanding, because you'll fall over like a wonky tripod. But in all your ways, just pause for a moment and remember him. Commit your way to him. Because then it goes on, it says, notice the order, it says, he will direct your paths. Isn't that interesting, the order of that? Trust, lean not, and then he will give you direction. I was really, really worried about making the right connections in the right place. I'll take this down because my face is a bit of distraction, isn't it? Sorry, you can say yes. I didn't really have to say yes. I was really nervous about making the right kind of connections in Slovakia, because I don't speak anything and I don't understand the way the letters are arranged with all the squiggly breathing marks and things. But God just happened to put in my train carriage this lady who talked a lot, and because I helped her off with her baggage, her son came along and put me on the next train. And then when I got to my last destination, I thought to myself, there's somebody here who's going to be picking me up. This is a big station, 8 o'clock at night, and there are hundreds of people milling around here. How will they know me, and how will I know them? Well, somebody, I don't know who, had sent an email along to say that there's a bald-headed man with blue hearing aids coming your way. So I guess that kind of helped. But at the end of the station, there's this family with this huge banner. And it said, "Welcome, Wayne O'Leary." So I thought, well, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? And again, as we acknowledge God, it's not just what he does for us. It's the detail behind what he does for us, which is so amazing at times. I'm still the same bumbling, foolish idiot when I'm out there as I am here. But God is able to do far more when I acknowledge him, not just in the big decisions, but in all the minute little decisions. Like, Lord, where do I get a ticket from? How do I pay to get a ticket? And all those little things. So lean not on your own understanding, because why? Because God will sort it out. Then he says, do not be wise in your own eyes. That's a really important one. Let's just remind ourselves of that. Verse 7 there. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Do not be wise in your own eyes. How can we go along with that? It's easy to think we've got things worked out by our own experiences and our own intelligence sometimes, isn't it? And I've got a few years on me now. Just a few. And it's easy to think, well, Lord, I've got this worked out now, when in reality there is so much more that I haven't got worked out. And when I come back from Eastern Europe, one of the things that amazes me is that I've learnt far more than what I've given. I've come back having met new friends in new places, in strange new worlds, as Jim Kirk would say. Not that he's biblical, he certainly isn't. But you see where I'm going with that. It's being open to learning where God puts you, wherever that is. And continuing to fear him, because then he says it will be health to your body and marrow to your bones. What does that mean? Well, the word body in the Hebrew means cord. And again, that comes from a maternal word meaning umbilical cord. What does an umbilical cord do? It passes nourishment backwards and forwards, doesn't it? It feeds the baby in its most vulnerable, most sensitive time. It takes away impurities from the baby. It's like a two-way kind of thing. So what he's saying is, well, when you're not wise in your own eyes, God will bring you such health and strength deep down within your body. I know I need that kind of spiritual health all the time. Then he goes on and he says, honour the Lord from your first fruits. In other words, don't just put something aside for the Lord and say, that'll do. Remember him right in the beginning. Then lastly he goes on, he says, do not reject the discipline of the Lord. I remember rejecting the discipline of my parents sometimes and getting into all sorts of trouble for doing that. I remember in the old Baptist chapel in Tewkesbury when I was quite young, playing marbles with my brother. And he was on one end, up in the balcony, and I was the other. We had these really big marbles, and we were batting them to each other for the whole width of the church during the evening service. And especially during communion, and people would be looking up going, thinking, what on earth is that all about? You see, there are times when you just forget, and you're carried away, and you think you're having fun, but really, you're not. And whatever God says for us to do, it's easy to get carried away in life and think that we're just having fun, enjoying our lives, and it's easy to drift from God. I've got friends who have rejected the discipline of the Lord. They're going through divorces and all sorts of other pains and things, and they're believers. Why? Because somewhere along the line, they've forgotten these five simple things about not forgetting his teaching, not letting kindness and truth, and all the other things that are going on. We need to remember these things, not just as an academic exercise, but a way of the ultimate travel list for life, if you like. And I certainly haven't got these worked out. Every time I go away, in fact, every time I leave my front door, I've realized more and more I've got a set of L plates on my back. Because I'm learning, not just learning to live in the world, but I'm learning to walk with God. And this is what he's saying here. He says, my son, don't forget my teaching. Do not let wisdom and truth leave you. Do not lean on your own understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't reject the discipline of the Lord. Discipline's a difficult thing to understand, really, isn't it? 23rd Psalm says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That sounds a bit heavy, doesn't it? Until we understand what a rod and a staff did in the Eastern times, many, many years ago. A rod would be used for counting the sheep. So if you can imagine, the sheep are coming in at the end of the day, the shepherd would just get his rod and separate them, and just count them, make sure they're all in. And then with his staff or his shepherd's crook, if they've got down a ditch or gone away like they do, he would be able to pull them back. Symbols of correction and protection. And the Lord's discipline is like that. It's correction and protection. Why? Because he doesn't want us to get into harm. Many of us have been kids, and somebody has said to us, don't touch those biscuits, they've just come out the oven. And what do? We touch the biscuits and we get burnt. And the Lord doesn't want us to go through life getting burnt fingers. He wants to exercise correction and protection. So this is my travel list for life, and if it helps you, then God bless you with that. You can use it as a bookmark in your Bible, or you can stick it on your fridge or your freezer so you see it every day. Because it isn't rocket science, isn't it? Hello? No, it's not, is it? Thank you, Richard. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Father, sometimes things seem a bit heavy when we're told don't do this and don't do that. But actually some of the best things in life are the ones to avoid. And some of the best things in life are the ones to remember. We thank you how your word is very clear about what to avoid and what to remember. And in a very simple way, Lord, help us to remember this to-do list as we travel through life, wherever we are, whether at home or doing the shopping or here in church or traveling overseas, wherever we are. Lord, help us to keep these things, these simple things, in focus, so that people will look at us and know that we're different, but also know why we're different. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.